Hi, everyone. I don't know about you, but I find that very, very touching, very, very heartfelt, very, very encouraging. I really enjoyed listening to this interview, Stanley, and your story and your faith and how it carried you. And one thing that you said in the middle of it, you talked about taking your eyes off God. But we could see through what you said that God never took his eyes off you. And thank God that he never takes his eyes off his children. God never rests. He never sleeps. He's always attentive. He's always concerned. He's always looking after, and he's always looking out for his children. Now, Stanley shared about difficult times and difficult issues in his life, and there's one verse in Scripture that we Christians, we share it regularly. Whenever we're speaking about life, whenever we're speaking about the future, whenever the future is maybe unsure or a little bit unclear, whenever we need that, just that wee bit of reassurance or a bit of encouragement. And it's from the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, which says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Now, interestingly, for the majority of the time when we quote this verse, perhaps unknowingly, we actually do it out of context. Because as we read this passage, as we read that verse, we will see that it's for a specific people at a specific time, in a specific place. Jeremiah's ministry was during the last five decades of the history of Judah's history. Judah was full of idolatry, it was full of sin, and God was just about to let the hammer fall, as it were. They were destined to be overrun, they were going to be taken into exile. And Jeremiah, well, at least up to now, Jeremiah has been pretty much that quintessential prophet of doom and gloom. The vast majority of everything that Jeremiah has said has been negative. Now, I say negative because we know ultimately that it wasn't negative. It was positive and it was for their good, but it certainly came over as negative. And in life, times can come against us. Things can come against us that initially can appear to be negative. They can be unpleasant. They can be difficult. And in the middle of these times, in the middle of these situations, it really can be difficult to discern the hand of God. Jeremiah, up to this time, has given nine general prophecies of judgment against Judah. He followed that with four specific prophecies of judgment against Judah. He has fallen out with just about everybody that he met with. He fell out with people in Judah. He fell out with people in exile. And on the surface of it, Jeremiah is not one of those people that you would really have at the top of your list for inviting to any sort of a party, the prophet of doom and gloom. But if we look at it a little bit closer, we can see, for example, that the people he was in conflict with, they were false prophets. They were liars. They were self-seeking individuals who were not communicating the word of God, and they were causing harm. Jeremiah spoke of sin. He spoke of disobedience. He spoke of God's judgment. These were the things that the people needed to hear. They didn't want to hear it, but they needed to hear it. They needed to hear God's word and the truth of God's word, just as we need to hear it today. We need people today like Jeremiah who are faithful and faithful at giving God's true word. People who will tell us, as Stanley has shared, that we have sinned. People who will faithfully tell us that that sin separates us from a holy God, and that unless we repent of that sin, seek God's forgiveness, we will face God's judgment. Jeremiah told the truth. And it's only now after 29 long chapters in Jeremiah, coming up to chapter 30, that things began to change, As we said at the start, Jeremiah was addressing a specific people at a specific time in a specific place. Who were they? Where were they? When was it? Well, the beginning of chapter 29, verse 1 tells us this. It says, "These are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders of the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon." Who were they? They were elders, priests, prophets, and all the people from Jerusalem. When was it? It was when they had been taken into exile. Where was it? Babylon. They were in exile in Babylon, and it just so happened that some of their number, some of those people that were among them, were those that Jeremiah fell out with. They were the false prophets. And these false prophets were telling the people, don't worry, it won't be too long. We're going to be back home again soon. You know, in King James' term, gird your loins. You know, get ready. We're moving out. It'll not be long. And just like in Jeremiah's day, there are still false prophets around. People who will tell you that you're fine, you're okay. As Stanley shared, you know, if you just come to church, you'll be fine. If you get involved in this, you'll be fine. If you help out here, you'll be okay. Any number of things, all kind of in an effort to gain favor with God. But Jeremiah spoke God's word, God's real word, into the situation. He didn't tell them it was okay. He didn't tell them they'll be home soon. He told them to settle down where they were. He told them to build houses. He told them to plant crops, get married, take wives, marry off your sons and daughters. And I know, I'm sure, that's not what they wanted to hear. Sometimes the truth of God's word is not what we want to hear. He even told them to pray and to look out for the welfare of the city that they were being held captive in. And I can picture them, Jeremiah, no, away you go. Thanks, Jeremiah. Bring these other boys back. I like these people, you know. You can understand they did not want to hear what Jeremiah was saying. But it's always, always better to hear a word from God, no matter how uncomfortable it might seem to begin with. See, God knew they were going to be there for 70 years. Verse 10 tells us that. So are we beginning to see why they were being told to settle down, to build houses and so on? I would rather live in a house than a makeshift tent if I know I'm going to be there for 70 years. And yes, I'm going to need those crops. And yes, perhaps I will pray for the city after all, because I'm going to be here a while. So are my children, even my grandchildren. So the better that the city does, the better it'll be for them and for me. It's always better to hear from God. No matter how good a false prophet might sound, he's still a false prophet. And in the midst of all this, they can actually see that God is in control. God has not taken his eyes off them. God is still looking out for them, even in the middle of judgment. Even in the middle of judgment. Thank God he never takes his eyes off his children. Now, I said at the start that we often quote this verse out of context, no specific people, time, and place, and so on. But does that mean that we cannot quote it today in our circumstances? Well, Paul was fond of using a good phrase whenever in some of his books when he was having an argument, and it was certainly not. You know, but maybe you say, I don't want to be quoting it out of context, and so on. Of course not. It's important that we know where it was set, who it was for, and so on. But as we read those verses, as we meditate, as we study those verses, God reveals something of his character to us. Because he reveals that he cares for his people. He never takes his eyes off his children. He always has the best in mind for his people. And he can always be trusted to do what's best. So yes, when we quote this verse today, we are reminding ourselves of the wonderful character of our wonderful God. There's one phrase that has been repeated time and again through what has been said here, or one type of phrase anyway, and it says, his people, his children. God cares for, God looks out for, God has a plan and a purpose again that Stanley mentioned, for the lives of all his children. But remember, there are still some false prophets knocking about. And some of them will tell you, and I have heard this, I don't know, many times, we are all God's children. That's not what God's word says. Of course, God loves us all. He is our creator. But we're not all God's children. Listen to what God says in John 1 and 12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. This is God speaking, God's way. We enter into God's family through salvation, through recognizing our sin, through repenting of our sin. Repenting is saying sorry, but it means much more than that. It means turning around, turning your back on sin, going the other way. And through accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior, trusting and committing our whole life over to him. Then and only then can we know God's care, comfort, and experience his peace. Then and only then can we know for sure that he will never, ever, ever take his eyes off us. Now I wonder, can you say that today? Can you say that you know for sure that you're a child of God? Can you say for sure that you know God will never, ever take his eyes off you? Well, I just want to say, if not, it's entirely possible that before you go home tonight, you can enter into God's family. Before you leave this building, you can know and experience the saving power of Almighty God. Now, as I finish, I just want to say that if you would like to know something more about it, if you'd like to talk about it, if you'd like more information, please, 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 don't live without talking to somebody. Talk to Stanley. Talk to Peter, the pastor. Talk to me. Talk to some of the rest of the guys in the team. Talk to someone. There's some literature about. We have literature that we can give to you. And the literature will not save you, but it will give you information, it will give you advice, it will point you to Jesus Christ. Some of that literature is sitting outside in the foyer and on the coffee tables. Please, please, do not live tonight without talking to somebody. Do not live tonight without knowing for sure that God will never, ever take his eyes off you. Thank you.